The Eucharist and the Betrayal. Matthew chapter 26, verses 20 to 29. When it was evening, he reclined at table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, Amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me. Deeply distressed at this, they began to say to him one after another, Surely it is not I, Lord. He said in reply, He who has dipped his hand into the dish with me is the one who will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes, as is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better for that man if he had never been born. Then Judas, his betrayer, said in reply, Surely it is not I, Rabbi. He answered, You have said so. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and giving it to his disciples, said, Take and eat. This is my body. Then he took a cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which will be shed on behalf of many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, from now on I shall not drink this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it with you new in the kingdom of my Father.
Jesus and his apostles have assembled in the supper room and have completed the traditional Passover feast. Maria Valtorta's account of this passage describes the institution of the Eucharist before Jesus' announcement of a betrayal. Sitting down, Jesus says, Now that the old rite has been accomplished, I will celebrate the new one. I have promised you a miracle of love. It is time to work it. That is why I have longed for this Passover. From now on, this is the victim that will be consumed in a perpetual rite of love. My beloved friends, I have loved you throughout the whole life of the earth. I have loved you for all eternity, my children. And I want to love you till the end. There is nothing greater than this. I am going away, but we shall remain forever united through the miracle that I will now work. Jesus takes a loaf, which is still unbroken, and places it on the chalice that has been filled with wine. He blesses and offers both. He then breaks the bread into 13 morsels and gives one to each apostle, saying, Take this and eat it. This is my body. Do this in remembrance of me, who am going away. He gives the chalice and says, Take this and drink it. This is my blood. This is the chalice of the new alliance, in my blood and through my blood, that will be shed for you to remit your sins and give you the life. Do this in remembrance of me. Jesus is very sad. There is no smile, no trace of light, no colour on his face. It is already an agonising face. The apostles look at him, utterly anguished. Jesus then stands up, saying, Do not move, I shall be back at once. He takes the 13th morsel of bread and the chalice, and he goes out of the supper room. He is going to his mother, whispers John. And Judas Thaddeus sighs, Poor woman. Peter asks in a very low voice, Do you think she knows? She knows everything. She has always been aware of everything, is the reply. They all speak in very low voices, as if they were in front of a corpse. But do you think that really? Begins Thomas, who does not yet want to believe. And do you doubt it? It is his hour, replies James of Zebedee. May God grant us strength to be faithful, says Simon the Zealot. Peter is about to speak, but John, who is on the lookout, says, Silence, he is here. Jesus comes back in. He has the empty chalice in his hands. Only at the bottom there is a trace of wine, and in the light of the chandelier it looks just like blood. Judas Iscariot, in front of whom is the chalice, looks at it as if he were enchanted. Then he averts his eyes. Jesus watches him and shudders, and John, leaning on his chest, feels it. Why not say so? You are shivering, he quietly exclaims. No, says Jesus, I am not shivering because I am feverish. I have told you everything, and I have given you everything. I could not have given you anything else. I have given you myself. He makes his usual kind gesture with his hands, which, previously joined, now separate and stretch out, while he bows his head as if he wished to say, Excuse me if I cannot give you any more. It is so. He then speaks out more loudly. I have told you everything, and I have given you everything. And I repeat, the new rite has been accomplished. Do this in remembrance of me. I have washed your feet to teach you to be humble and pure like your master, because I solemnly tell you that disciples must be like their master. Remember that, bear it in mind. And when you are in high office, remember that. There is no disciple greater than his master. And as I have washed you, do the same to one another. That is, love one another like brothers, helping and respecting one another, setting an example to one another. Be pure, to be worthy of eating the living bread that descended from heaven. And have the strength in yourselves through it to be my disciples in the hostile world that will hate you because of my name. But one of you is not pure. One of you will betray me. My spirit is deeply perturbed by that. The hand of him who will betray me is here with me on this table, and neither my love nor my body and blood nor my word make him mend his ways and repent. I would forgive him, going to my death on his behalf also. The disciples cast terrified glances at one another. They scrutinize one another suspiciously. Peter stares at the Iscariot in a revival of all his doubts. Judas Thaddeus, in his turn, jumps to his feet to look at the Iscariot over Matthew's body. But the Iscariot is so sure of himself. In his turn, he looks at Matthew as if he suspected him. He then looks fixedly at Jesus, and smiling, he asks, Is it I, perhaps? He seems to be the one who is most certain of his honesty and did not want to let the conversation drop. Jesus repeats his gesture, saying, You are saying so, Judas of Simon, not I. You are saying so, I have not mentioned your name. Why are you accusing yourself? Ask your internal warning, your conscience of a man, the conscience that God the Father gave you, that you might behave as a man, and listen whether it accuses you. You will be the first to know. But if it reassures you, why do you utter a word and speak of a deed that is anathema, even to mention or to think of as a joke? Jesus is speaking calmly. He seems to be supporting a proposed thesis as a learned man may do with his pupils. The confusion is great, but Jesus' calm quietens it. Peter is the one most suspicious of Judas. Perhaps Thaddeus is also, but he does not look suspicious, disarmed as he is by the Iscariot's easy manners. Peter plucks John's sleeve, and when John, who has pressed against Jesus upon hearing him speak of betrayal, turns around, he whispers to him, "Ask him who it is." John takes his previous position again. He raises his head slightly as if he wanted to kiss Jesus, and in the meantime he whispers in his ear, "Master, who is it?" And Jesus, in a very low voice, kissing him in his turn on his head, says, "It is he to whom I shall give a piece of bread dipped in the dish." And taking another whole loaf, not the remains of the one used for the Eucharist, he breaks off a large morsel, dips it into the lamb's sauce left on the tray, and says, "Take it, Judas, you like it." "Thank you, Master, I do like it." And unaware of what that morsel is, he eats it, while John, horrified, closes his eyes so as not to see the horrid smile of the Iscariot as he bites the accusing bread with his strong teeth. "Well, now that I have made you happy, go," Jesus says to Judas. "Everything here has been accomplished." He lays much stress on that word. "What is still left to be done elsewhere, do it quickly, Judas of Simon." "I will obey you at once, Master. Then I will join you at Gethsemane. You're going there, are you not, as usual?" "Yes, I am going there, as usual." "What has he got to do?" asks Peter. "Is he going by himself?" "I'm not a baby," says Judas scoffingly as he puts on his mantle. "Let him go," says Jesus. "He and I know what must be done." "Yes, Master." Peter is silent. Perhaps he thinks he has committed a sin, suspecting his companion. Resting his forehead on the palm of his hand, he becomes pensive. Jesus presses John to his heart and whispers again through his hair, "Say nothing to Peter for the time being. It would be a useless scandal." "Goodbye, Master. Goodbye, friends," says Judas. "Goodbye," replies Jesus. And Peter says, "Goodbye, boy." John, his head almost on Jesus' lap, whispers, "Satan." Jesus alone hears him and sighs.